cooling the thirst, that we might have a drink of living water. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Thank God for it. Amen. Luke chapter 2 this morning. And when you find your place at Luke chapter 2, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. If you're physically able to stand and would like to do so. Kind of give you a thought the Lord's put on our heart this morning and kind of have a burden for the message this morning. I pray that it will be a blessing to us. I believe this is what God's put in our heart, breaking away from the book of Romans. And to give you a thought the Lord's kind of laid on our heart this week, and pray that the Lord will use it out of a pretty common passage of Scripture here out of the Lord's life. This is just the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is young. He's still a child here. But here in the Word of God, we have some very practical applications and things the Lord will show us all through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, don't you love how the Bible is all centered on Jesus? It's all about Him. From beginning to end, it's all about Him. And before He was even here on the earth in a physical sense, the Bible was still preaching Christ. And there were still things we were learning about His life and drawing from His life before He was ever even here. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about all those pictures and the shadows and the foretellings of Christ in the Old Testament and all the sacrifices. And I mean, everything that happened, it was all pointing towards Jesus. And we were learning about and learning from His life before He was even here physically on the earth, so to speak. And, of course, we know that before the foundation of the earth was laid, I mean, He was here, but I'm talking about His physical in the body here. We were still learning about His life and learning from His life. And then even here as a child, we're learning from His life, even as a child. And I heard a message here preached not too long ago on Christ and just talking about His life and the crucifixion, Him dying. And the message was preached on the greatest young person that ever lived. And if you think everything Jesus ever did, He did as a young man. And boy, it's just what a Savior. Just what a Savior. Amen. And so let's look here in Luke chapter 2 and look in verse number 41. I want to start reading there and read a few verses and then give you our thought this morning. Of Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the peace of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Now, I just think it's interesting to note that even Jesus, the God of heaven, had great parents. Amen. And they saw it very necessary and saw it very needful to keep Him among the things of God, even if it cost them, even if they had to travel to do so. Amen. They kept Him where it was right to be and kept Him in the things of God and surrounded by the things of God. And boy, that's a good note for all of us parents. Amen. Keep our children immersed in the things of God. It says in verse 43, "And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And I'm going to end off reading there, and I want to preach to you for a few minutes on this message, this thought of leaving Him behind. Leaving Him behind. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for blessing us with it this morning. I pray that You'll take it and use it in a mighty way. Father, bless the reading of it. I pray that You will give us spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to receive from heaven what You'd have us to receive. And I pray that as Your Word goes out and is preached, I pray that it would go forth not in the wisdom of the words of men, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that it would drive deep into our hearts. I pray, Lord, for that lost soul that might be here amongst us this morning, or that You would do a work in that heart, that You would draw them to repentance and faith, that today would be the day of salvation. And Father, I pray for those of us that are saved, that You would draw us close to Yourself, help us to learn of Thee.
I pray that you would show us the things in our life that, Lord, that need to be out of our lives. Show us the things we should add to, and help us, Lord, just to be what you want us to be in these days. Lord, I pray that you would do an eternal work in your house this morning. May we leave here changed for time and eternity, saying it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, may we hear from you, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we look here in this Passover commencement and all that goes on in the Passover, and they take him there. They take this long journey from their home, and they journey in with their kinsfolk, journey with their family. And no doubt it was a costly trip. It cost them money to go on this trip. It cost them their time. It cost them many things. But they were willing to pay the price to get where God was, get where God would have them to be. Amen. And to recognize the Passover and to continually do the things that God had commanded them to do. And that's a lesson for all of us, that it's always worth the price we pay as parents to get our children where God wants them to be. Amen. And so that's the way Joseph and Mary were. They carried Christ to the Passover, and they went as a family. By the way, it's always better to take your children as a family to the things of God rather than sending them. Amen. Listen, get your family, get your children where God is. Amen. Listen, life's too short to go to a dead church. Life's too short to be sold out to the world and the things of the world. Life is too short to do anything but serve God. Amen. And so even Joseph and Mary, those who are the parents of the God, of the Savior, the Messiah, even they did what they had to do to get their family and their children where God was. Amen. And so they take this trip. They go to Jerusalem, and they go through all the festivities and all the things that go on there. When the days are over, they head out back for home, not realizing that they have left Jesus behind. They go an entire day's journey supposing that he's there, assuming that he's there, but they're no doubt in a big caravan. There's a crowd of people. They've got their family and their kinsfolk and their friends and the neighbor. And just for safety purposes, they would travel in big clans like that back in these days. They would all travel together. And so they're in this crowd and they're making their way home, just assuming that Jesus has run off with some friends or he's with some family somewhere. But after a day goes by, they start thinking, you know, we haven't seen Jesus in a long time. You ever been there, parents? I mean, you're just assuming your kids are out playing, they're out doing something, and after a while, you start thinking, scratching your head and looking around, and you don't see him. You say, well, you know, I haven't seen him in a long time. I haven't seen him. And then you get to looking, and you kind of get, after a while, if you don't find him pretty quick, you get that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you're thinking, where in the world, where are they? You know, we were up on our trip, and Judah, we were at this little park, and Judah had ridden some little ride there at this little park, and without knowing it, he just took it upon himself just to jump right over to another ride. I mean, he rode one ride, he saw that, oh, he wanted to ride that one, so he just took off, and he went to ride in the other one. Well, Hannah's assuming he's going to come off this one, and he don't come off, and she starts looking around, and he's nowhere to be found, and she starts asking around, and she's getting nervous and kind of having a little bit of a panic moment, wondering where he's at, and starts asking around if there's been a little boy in a yellow shirt. And the lady that's running the ride said, oh yeah, I saw one head right over there to that one. And he actually slipped through the gates the way he wasn't even supposed to go, and looking over there, and he's already riding the other ride, you know. But it's that sick feeling in your stomach, you know. And no doubt Joseph and Mary get that as they start looking for Jesus, and they don't know. I mean, imagine the responsibility there, you know. It's one thing to raise a normal kid. It's another thing to raise God, you know. And they're thinking, oh my, we've lost God, you know. Well, I mean, what kind of, think of the responsibility on those parents. We've lost Jesus. He's the Messiah, and now we've lost him, you know. But anyways, as they're looking around, they don't find him. So they go all the way back to Jerusalem, a day's journey away, a day's journey back, and then they spend 3 days looking for him before they finally find him. The problem is that they had left him behind without even knowing it, without even realizing it. Assuming he was there, supposing he was there, supposing he was walking the direction they were walking, supposing he was going the direction they were going, supposing he was with them all the way. After a day goes by and a lot of time goes by, they start to realize that we have left him behind. You know, I think spiritually speaking, that's what happens to a lot of people. They travel and they go a path and they just take off, just assuming they don't pray about it. They don't seek His face. They don't, you know, I mean, they're just assuming that what I'm doing, God is in it. And they're just assuming that where I'm going, God is with me. They're just assuming that the direction that I'm traveling, that the Lord is there. And after it takes some time, after some time goes by, if they ever wake up, they wake up and realize, I have left Him behind. You know, you and I would all do well to be very careful that we don't leave the Lord behind in any of our plans. We do very well to make sure that we don't leave Jesus behind and leave Him out of anything we do in our life. The Bible says that in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen? Listen, we are traveling aimlessly. We don't even have a direction to go in. Even though we may think we do in our flesh, we don't even have a clear direction to go in if we do not have Him with us. And you know, one of the worst things you could ever do in life is just to assume that Jesus is on board, and just assume that He is in the way, and just assume that He's with you in everything that you do, and just suppose that. It's very dangerous to make suppositions. You better make very sure that Jesus is with you and you've not left Him behind. I want to look at a few things in this passage regarding leaving Him behind. The first thing we see is the reason He was left behind. Why did they leave Him? How is it that parents, I mean, and I believe Joseph and Mary were good parents. I don't believe the Lord chose anybody, amen? I believe He chose Mary because of her tenderheartedness and because of her heart for God and because she loved God. Listen, I don't believe she was some floozy, amen? I believe she was a godly lady and she loved the Lord and God chose her because of her virtue and God chose her because of her purity and her holy lifestyle, amen? And by the way, that's the kind of ladies God chooses and the kind of ladies God will use. Amen. I remember as a young single preacher, I was in my early 20s, and I, like every young man, you know, you want to get married so bad you can't hardly stand it. And you get to the point you start thinking, man, there's no godly ladies out there anymore. There's just no good ones left, you know. And I'll never forget this missionary to Mexico. I'm blanking on his name now. But anyways, we were talking one time and he said something and I had not even brought this up, but I guess he just noticed as a young single preacher and probably just assumed like every young single preacher, you want to get married, and he made this statement to me, and it stuck with me. Always up till now, it still stuck with me. He made this statement. He said, "Brother," he said, "just trust God in everything that you do, and trust God in who you marry." He said, "God always saves the best for His servants." Amen. And I'm telling you, anyone who wants to be used of God, God's always going to use the best among us. Amen? Not that any of us are worthy, but I'm telling you, a lot of people are wandering through life wondering why they're not being used, but they're not being used because they're not giving God their best. Amen? And I just believe that Mary had given her heart to God. She was sold out to God. She was chaste. She was virtuous. She was holy. She was pure. Therefore, God chose her. God chose Joseph. I believe they were good parents. Amen? But listen, they woke up and they realized they have left Him behind. And there are some reasons how it happened, and the same reasons they did will be the same reasons you do it. The Bible says in verse 44, supposing Him to have been in the company. Now, there's at least three reasons here why they were without Christ. First of all, the first reason is haste. They were hasty. The Bible says in verse 43 that Jesus tarried in Jerusalem. He tarried. Now they cut out and left for home. They were on their way home. They were ready to get on the road. They were ready to get things going. They were ready to start making some progress while Jesus was still tarrying in Jerusalem. While He was still sitting still, while He was still waiting and tarrying. That's kind of like whenever Lazarus died, isn't that right? He was sick, he was dying, and boy, all of his family, all the friends, everybody was, they were dying too for Jesus to get there. They were sending messengers, they were praying, they were doing everything they could to get Jesus to move, get Jesus to work, amen? And isn't that the way we are sometimes? Boy, we pray and we beg and we plead and we do everything we know to do to get God to move, to get Him to work, to get Him to do something, and yet it just seems like He sits back and He just tarries and He tarries and He tarries, and we're praying and we're begging God, oh God, I don't know how this bill's going to get paid, and I don't know where the money's going to come from, and I don't know how this is going to play out, and I don't know how this is going to work out. God, would You do something? Lord, just do something, do something, do something. And yet He tarries and He tarries and He tarries. Well, just like in Lazarus's case, he tarried for 4 days. Amen. And listen, when all hope was gone, when Lazarus was stinking by that time, that's when Jesus showed up. Amen. Listen to me. He doesn't work our timeline. You can throw your watch in the trash when it comes to the things of God. Amen. God works on His timetable. Amen. And when all hope is gone, as far as we're concerned, it's just starting to get rolling good as far as God's concerned. Amen. And when they were in a hurry to get down the road and in a hurry to make progress, Jesus was still tarrying behind. I'm telling you, it is a great way to get ahead of God and leave Him behind and leave Him out of your plans to get hasty in your spiritual life. Amen. You remember that hymn that we've sung through the years, "Take Time to Be Holy"? Listen, it does take time to be holy. Amen. It does take time. Listen, I've heard preachers talk about, you know, studying on a computer and using all this technology to our advantage to study and prepare sermons. And they always say, well, not always, but I've heard this statement before, you know, it's just so much quicker. It's just so much easier. Amen. And listen, I'm not knocking studying on a computer. I got a great study program with thousands of books on it that I use and things like that. Listen, I use those things to my advantage too. But listen, it's not about the time. Amen. It's not about getting in and getting out. And it's not about making shortcuts in our spiritual life, because there are no spiritual shortcuts to be made. Amen? Listen, whatever happened to slowing down and walking with God and being still and hearing from God? Let me tell you, the devil's in this technology and the devil's in the hustle and bustle of this day. The devil's in the hustle and bustle of this life. And he's got us so hopped up on haste, wanting to get somewhere and get things done. And I'm all for getting things done and being productive. Amen? But I'm telling you that when it comes spiritually, it is going to take time for us to walk with God. They wound up walking off and leaving Him because they were just wanting to get on down the road. And you and me spiritually will make a mess of our lives. We will make a mess of our ministries. We will make a mess of our families if we get too hasty and walk off and leave the Lord behind. Listen, if you get so impatient about making some decision, you know, and sometimes they're very, very big decisions, but big or small, if you're so impatient and hasty and you're too impatient and hasty to wait on God, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to wind up walking off and leaving Him behind, and you're going to get out there by yourself and get out in a big mess, and the decision that you made, the thing that you wanted so bad, you're going to have it but lose Him. Amen. They were hasty. See, if you get in just to get out, that's exactly what you'll get. Out. Out. Amen. That's just like church, man. This isn't all about church, but listen, I don't get in coming to church to get out. I'm not here for stretching out services, and I'm not here for prolonging things and pumping things up that are already dead. Amen. I'm not for just stretching things out just to stretch them out. Amen. But listen, I don't come and put the service on a time clock and put God on a time clock. I don't put my preaching on a time clock. Listen, we want to do what God wants to do. We're here to hear from God. Amen. And listen, if we come in to get out, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get out, and that is it. Amen. And listen, if that's the way you live your spiritual life, that is the way you'll wind out. You'll wind up out, walking off and leave. And you have to walk off and leave God behind in the person they marry. Amen. I just heard of another situation. I've been telling y'all all year that I know four young couples that's almost an identical situation that this year. This year, four young couples, number five was last week. Almost an identical situation. Young family, got children, raising them right, in a good church, all those things, and the devil get in there and bust that thing up, and the wife walk off and leave her family and leave her kids and don't even care about her kids or her family anymore. Number five was last week. I'm telling you, the devil is after our homes, and the devil is after our children, and the devil's after you and your life and your ministry and your testimony. And we've got some young ones here, some teenagers here, that they're in the battle of their life. Amen. They're making decisions now that's going to affect them the rest of their life. And who you marry is the biggest part of it. Amen. Listen, what you do with Jesus and who you marry, the two most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. And if you're not careful, you'll walk off and leave Jesus behind, and you'll get out there and make a mess of your life. and you'll get what you want, but you'll wind up not wanting it near as bad as you wanted it at one time. Amen? And I'm telling you, I could tell you story after story after story, and it doesn't just affect the young people, it affects all of us. Amen? Listen, we're all faced with decisions, and we're all faced with directions that we're going in, and if you get hasty, and you don't wait on God, and you don't wait for Him to give you the go-ahead and the green light, we will all leave Him behind if we're not careful. We're all capable of that. The reason is their haste. Number two, the second reason is they were preoccupied. First of all, they were hasty. They were in such a hurry. So much of a hurry that it got them preoccupied. Their mind on other things. They were so occupied with other concerns that they didn't even miss Jesus for the first day. They were thinking about what was going on around them, thinking about what was before them, thinking about the journey ahead, thinking about just the normal things. They were just preoccupied with things, so much so that they got a day's journey out before they even stopped to realize we hadn't seen Jesus in a while. Now, I want to say this, the concerns that they probably had were not evil concerns. The concerns that most of us have, a lot of times, hopefully, are not evil concerns. I'm behind. People, the flesh has the tendency to get such tunnel vision and get so focused on what you're doing right now and your plans and your zeal and your pleasures and everything that you want. And if you're not careful, you'll get ahead of him and leave him behind you. Get preoccupied. Be very careful about what occupies your mind all the time. Be very careful. It ought to be the things of God. Amen. The third reason is carelessness. See, in verse 44, they made a very dangerous supposition. They supposed that He was with them. They just supposed. They were just careless about it. They just assumed. Well, yeah, I mean, we're traveling. Jesus is here somewhere. I ain't seen Him in the last 15 minutes, but He's here somewhere. I mean, they just assumed, you know. He's with the family. He's with some friends. He's off somewhere playing. We just hadn't seen Him. But they supposed He was there, but He wasn't. And do you know that there is nothing more perilous than spiritual carelessness? Being careless with spiritual things. Amen. Amen. That goes for saved people and lost people. The lost person ought to take very seriously spiritual things because their eternal soul hangs in the balance. Amen. There's a lot at stake for the lost person, and the devil wants to occupy their mind and get their mind on just frivolous things, silly things that do not matter. You know, that's why the Bible has more to say about being sober than it has to say about not being drunk. That's why, that's the thing with this, you know, this social drinking crowd, like, well, I mean, the Bible don't say that much about it. We don't say much about it, but what about how much it says about being sober? Be sober-minded. Amen. Be sober. Be serious. About spiritual things and careless about the direction of your life and just assume that Jesus is just going to work it out. Well, He's not there to work it out if you've walked off and left Him. If you've just made up your mind, you're going to go your direction. So, three reasons why they left Him behind. But then what about the realization when they left Him behind? The Bible says in verse number 44 that they went a day's journey and then they realized it. They went a long ways without Him. I don't know how many miles they covered. I don't know how far they went. You know, I'm sure they were walking or riding some animal of some kind or some drawn wagons. I mean, no doubt they weren't moving extremely fast, not like we are today, but I don't know how far they got, but it was far enough that it took them a whole day to get there. An entire day. You think about the waste that would come in a day, in this day and time. They were paid based on a day's wages. And that was a lot of money. So you're talking about a whole day's lost. A whole day worth of travel. And then you got the day back and you've got all that. Listen, there was a realization after a whole day went by. They traveled a whole day's journey toward home before realizing He wasn't there. Now a lot of folks, they'll travel without Christ, but we'll find out too late. They found out after a whole day's journey. Some are going to find out at the end of this life, and it's going to be too late then. They're going to go too far without Him, and it's going to be too late. You know, if there's one thing you need in this life, it's to have Him as your Savior if you're lost. Amen? And if you're saved, a lot of Christians, you know, they'll take off on a path without making sure He's there, and they'll get way ahead of God and then get way off course because they're way ahead of Him. You know, it's not good to get ahead of God, and it's not good to lag behind God. But I think it's a little better to maybe lag a little behind than it is to jump out ahead. Neither one of them's good. And you need to strive to do neither. Amen? But I'm telling you, I've seen the most tragic things happen and the worst things happen, the biggest mistakes made when people just jump out ahead and they do something impulsively and they jump out and they ignore the Word of God, ignore the will of God. They will not wait on God. They are hasty. Amen. They ignore everything their preacher ever told them, ignore everything their parents ever told them. They ignore every prayer that's been prayed for them. They ignore all that and just jump out and do it because it's what I want. Because it's what I want. And they're careless, just assuming that if I do it, the Lord will go with me and He'll work it out. I'm going to tell you something. There are some things that we can all do that can never be worked out. Restoration can be made. Forgiveness is certainly there. But there are things that are never undone. Amen. And it comes from carelessness. So they were hasty, they were occupied, they were careless. And then they finally realized, boy, we've gone a long ways without the Lord. If you're not careful, you'll get way ahead of God and get way off course. And things will happen in your life that will never be able to be done. The realization, last of all, there were the results. The Bible says again, they went a day's journey. They went a day's journey. And as we think about this, as we think about getting ahead of Him and leaving Him behind, the results of walking ahead of the Lord, leaving Him behind, the results are never gained. It is always going to be loss. And it was here in Mary and Joseph's life too. It resulted in loss. Now, the devil and the world, I'm telling you, your flesh and this world and the devil will dangle a carrot out there and, I mean, will get you so convinced that this is the only path to success here. This is the only way to make progress. This is the only way to move my life forward. This is the only thing that matters in life. This has got to get done or nothing else will work out right. The devil will do that. Amen. He'll do that with a job. He'll do that with a relationship. He'll do that with so many things and get you convinced this is the only way I can make it. But I want you to know something, that if God's on it, it'll never bring gain. It'll never bring success. It'll never bring positivity. It'll never bring growth. It'll only cost you in the end. Now, as you look at this passage, say, well, what all did it cost Mary and Joseph? I mean, they found the Lord. Yeah, they found Him. Some people never do, though. Some people couldn't be able to get so far that they never make their way back. They never find Him. They never get back where they once were. Amen. But listen, even in finding Him, even in restoring and getting back with Him and having that relationship put back together, listen, even in that, it still costs them. You say, well, what's it going to cost you? Well, it costs them the same thing it'll cost you. Number one, it cost them in progress. See, they had to go all the way back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus. A day's journey out, a day's journey back. Amen. Listen, this whole ordeal cost them at least 5 days. At least. Because it's a journey out, that's one day, a day's journey back, and then it took them 3 days to find Him. After 3 days. So you're talking at least 5 days it took them to find Him. And I tell you, listen, you know, you look at that, that don't look like progress to me. That one day's journey home that they were so hasty to get on the road, and they were so careless to not make sure Jesus was with them, and they were so, you know, they were so preoccupied with everything to get on the road that they just went out and did it, and they just jumped out there and made a day's journey without the Lord, and then finally realized that He wasn't there. Listen, all that progress they thought they were making, they're not making. That one day cost them 5 days. It cost them fivefold the one thing that they did out, you know, away from Him. And listen, it'll be that way in your life and my life too. Every step we take, every dollar we spend outside the will of God will cost you at least fivefold what it would have been if you'd have done it and just waited on Him. Amen. I've heard it said before, you know, I mean, you can buy a vehicle, and I think Brother Joe Bryant talked about it, you know, in preaching on missions. You know, if God's in it, God will pay the bill. No matter how big the bill is, if God's in it, He'll pay the bill. But you buy a car outside of the will of God, and you might pay for that thing 4 or 5 times over. Isn't that right? And it's not just in dollars and cents. It's not just in finances. It's in everything in life. Listen, every bit of progress we think we're making spiritually, or we think we're making in our life without Him, it's going to cost you at least 5 times of that in the long run. It costs them their progress. See, you think you're losing progress and wasting time by waiting on Him. One of the hardest things to do in the spiritual life is wait. That is one of the hardest things to do. The flesh does not want to do that. The flesh does not want to wait. But their greatest setback came by doing things without Him. And I tell you, whenever we look at our lives through the eye of the flesh, and it seems like God's not giving an answer on this thing, and God's not giving a direction, I'm just sitting here and I'm just waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and I don't know what to do except just wait. The flesh says, I'm wasting time. The flesh says, I'm getting nothing done. The flesh says, I'm not moving forward. But you don't realize that there's more getting done on the inside of you than what's getting done ahead of you whenever we're called to just wait. See, we go based on what we see. We go based on what we see on the outside. And God's not so concerned about what's going on the outside. He's concerned about what's going on the inside. And generally speaking, there is more that gets done on the inside of us when we're just waiting on something to get done on the outside. It costs them in their progress. But then number two, it costs them in pleasure too. You say, well, pleasure. Well, yeah, look at verse number 48. It says, when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, what's the next word? Sorrowing. Sorrowing. Mary told Jesus that she had been seeking Him. Her and His father had been seeking Him, sorrowing. You know, traveling without Him will bring sorrow. It will. It will not bring joy. It will not. Now, the devil and the flesh and the world will convince you that it will. There'll be something out there, some opportunity, and you're praying about it, and God's not giving you direction, and He's not opening the door, but you decide you're going to go ahead and go out there and do it anyways, and the devil and the flesh and the world will convince you that this is the only way to have joy. This is the only way to have fulfillment, is for this one thing to work out. And it may bring some temporary joy and some temporary pleasure. But in the long run, you will really wish you'd just waited on Him and not left Him behind. My mind keeps going back to all these families just because that's what's kind of going on right now. My mind keeps going back to all that. But I'm telling you, I could tell you stories right now of people who thought they had to have this person. They thought they had to. I'm thinking of a girl right now, a young lady who's in her mid-20s, raising a good family, homeschooled, in a good church, I mean protected from the world and all these things. And she's getting older. She's getting in her mid-20s. Her younger siblings are getting married. Everybody else is getting married. And she meets a guy, and she's convinced, I got to marry this guy. I got to have him. Scared to death of, you know, becoming an old maid. And within 1 year of marrying that boy, when so many people told her, you better think about this. You better reconsider this. He's not like us. Within 1 year, she's on the bad side of town, knocking on doors of crack houses. Now we're talking about a girl who's innocent, who knows nothing of that life. It is all so foreign to her. She knows nothing of that life. She knows nothing of the bad side of town, the bad side of the tracks. And within 1 year of marrying this guy, her husband, this guy she's married, strung out somewhere, and she's knocking on the doors at midnight on crack houses trying to find her husband. I'm telling you, I could tell you so many people who have either married somebody or gone out and done something, and when it's all said and done, not immediately, because it's all great immediately. Amen? That's the Instagram, Facebook culture we're in. People get out of the will of God, but they put all their hand-picked pictures, you know, that one out of 500, the perfect picture, they pull one out of 500 and then filter that one to put it out there for the whole world to see, to make their life look perfect. And the devil, puts that up for it and see, they're having a great, they've done this in spite of what that preacher says, in spite of what the Bible says, in spite of what God says, in spite of what, you know, all these things. They've went ahead and done this, and see, their life's working out great. Well, you just wait. You don't see what God sees a week down the road or a month down the road. You don't even see what's going on the other side of the billboard. You don't see what's going on behind closed doors. Amen. I'm telling you, the world makes it look perfect when you leave the will of God, but it will never bring joy. It will bring sorrow every time. That's the result. It costs them their pleasure. The greatest life we could ever live is in the will of God. It'll cost you that whenever you leave them behind. Number three, and last of all, it costs them their progress. It costs them in pleasure, but then it costs them their peace. They discovered that they were without Him, and they experienced great troubling down in their heart. I can just imagine that feeling, and I know that feeling very well as a parent. Looking around, and you're in a crowd, you know, and your child's there 1 minute, and you turn around, and he's not there the next, you know. And I mean, immediately you go into panic mode. And it may only be just for a few seconds until you spot him again, but man, just the feeling, the troubling in your soul, you know, losing your child. Let me just tell you, that's what they were experiencing in their heart. They lost their peace. And for 3 days, they searched for him before they found him. They realized he was missing after 1 day out. They realized he was missing. It took them a whole day to get back. No doubt they were looking for him the whole way. And a whole day goes by. They finally get back to Jerusalem. And there's probably millions of people in town for the Passover. When the Passover would take place and all the festivities that would go on, I mean, people from all over would travel to Jerusalem. I mean, it is swamped with people. People are everywhere. There's crowds and there's things going on. I mean, people are everywhere. And they're thinking, man, how in the world are we ever going to find him? And so they search for him for a day, and they don't find him. And then they search for him for another day, and they don't find him. And then finally, the third day, they finally find him. Now, can you imagine the sick feeling in the heart of a parent, in the heart of his mother, in the heart of Joseph, as they look for him, and a whole day goes by, and they never find him. And then a whole day goes by, and they don't find him. And then a whole day, you think they were sleeping good at night? I guarantee you they were not. You think they were eating good? I doubt it. Amen. This is something terrible happens. Listen, you lose your appetite. You don't sleep. I mean, they were searching. They were looking. They had lost all peace. Well, it looks a lot like people who get out of the will of God. I was just reading the other day. I try to read a proverb, chapter of Proverbs every day, you know, throughout the month, and just, you know, along with my other Bible reading. And I just read the other day a verse, and it just made me think about all that Proverbs has to say about sleep. The sleep of the righteous versus the sleep of the wicked, or the lack thereof. Amen. Listen, whenever you're not right with God, whenever you're out of His will, and you've walked off left hand, I'm telling you what will happen. You will lose your peace. Amen. You'll quit sleeping good. You'll quit having that peace in your soul that God's there because He's withdrawn Himself for you. He's grieved in your heart. And you won't have your peace anymore. Because walking with Him is the only way to have peace. Again, the world promises progress. The world promises pleasure. The world, the flesh, promises peace.
But they're all empty promises. It's always an empty promise. They're all but for a season. And then it's gone. That's what happened to Mary and Joseph. They walked on without him, and for a little season. But if you'll notice, it took them a lot longer to get back to him and find him than it ever did to get away from him. That's the way it is in the Christian life. It's a lot quicker and easier to get away from him than it is to get back and find him. You know, anyone who wants to make real progress in life will have to wait on the Lord. Anyone that wants to make real progress spiritually will actually have to back up to the place to where they lost him and find him again. Amen. You remember whenever the Lord talked about, you know, coming to the altar, bringing a sacrifice, and then remembering that you had offended your brother? He said to leave the sacrifice there. Go get right with your brother, then come back and offer your sacrifice. That lets us know that God is not interested at all in our worship, in our service, or anything we do. If there's some spot back there where we've messed up something, you've got to go back and get that right first before you can ever start progressing and making moves forward. Amen. You know, some people, they think, well, man, things get messed up in this town, I'll just move to another town. I do something in this church, something to get messed up in this church, I'll just move to another church. Let me tell you something, real spiritual progress will never be made till you go back and get that thing right. You can't. It'll follow you everywhere you go. And real progress will never be made. Have you walked off and left him? Don't leave the Lord behind. And if you have, you know it's never too late to turn back and go find him. And I tell you where he's going to be. He's going to be right where you left him. He's going to be right where you left him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for helping us with your word. I pray that you'll take it and use it and bless it. Help us all, Lord, to walk and be sure, not be careless, Lord, that you are walking with us and you're on the path with us, Lord. In every decision, every direction we go, Lord, may we be concerned with your will and your way, that we'd not leave you behind. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand.